Welcome to Solutions OP Clinical Trials Podcast. My name is Olga and I'm the Managing Director of Solutions OP. We are a small team of experienced professionals working on clinical trials in the United Kingdom. I'll use our podcast to discuss hot topics in clinical trials and provide analysis of the latest trends and challenges in pharma and medical device industries, not just in the UK, but globally. Thank you for listening. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast. In today's episode, I will be talking about what is happening in the pharma industry in the recent years and what are the trends in 2026. It will be a bit of analysis of some trends in terms of investment and drug development, and I hope it will be an interesting episode for you. I will begin with what is the cost of developing new medicinal products, and there are several factors I would like to discuss here, and these factors, they all affect the cost. So the first one is the drug development risks. So the pharmacy industry is sensitive to how it is perceived by the general public, and there are always efforts to be seen in a positive light. This hasn't always been very successful, and in recent survey from YouGov shows a slip of confidence. It turned out that many do not see the industry as good value for money. So that is to say, there are a lot of expensive drugs on the market which are not necessarily that good for the patients. So inevitably, you know, people see it as a less value for money. And I've talked about this problem in the past in previous episodes. And it's all related to the fact that investors are looking for new products which are less riskier and somehow guarantee return of investment. But these products, at the same time, they're not necessarily the most innovative and better treatment options for the patients. So no one can blame the investors for that, because generally no one wants to invest in something knowing they'll likely lose their money. So it's normal that they would expect to have some return. So, for example, there's a lot of investment in immunotherapy, in cancer treatment at the moment. These drugs are a very popular field currently for investment. And they have a well-known profile. They have some adverse events which we know about, like heart inflammation. It hasn't been massively successful therapy, the immune therapy in oncology. It works for some patients, but there are many patients for who it doesn't. So it's complicated. It's not a solution for everyone, the immune therapy. And yet, this is something that is very attractive at the moment for investors, and everyone's investing in immune therapy. It's seen as something secure in terms of return and development. It's established treatment. So that's why probably their preference is towards investment in immune therapy and oncology. The losers in such situations are the early stage potential drug products, which don't receive the investment or take a long time to raise the funds that they need for the development of these products. But let's put these costs of developing new medicinal products in some perspective. For example, Pfizer acquired a potential drug for sickle cell disease by purchasing Global Blood Therapeutics for $5.4 billion. Then they invested $260 million for the development of drug and conducting clinical trials, only for the drug to fail. So when we say fail, we either mean that it doesn't provide a significant benefit to the patients, or the risk is greater than the benefits. So all that investment is lost. And this is something that is happening in the pharma industry all the time. In fact, in 2024, the pharma industry spent $7.7 billion US dollars on clinical trials which were terminated.
So as you can imagine, the risk is big and the investment is big, and when people lose their money, they lose big. What are the factors affecting the drug development and the cost? So another one is the price pressure. So while terminating clinical trials and drug development is normal and it happens all the time, it's very important to acknowledge the global economic situation. So many countries cannot afford new branded drugs. And here, for example, you can think of the African countries and many countries in Asia. Some countries can afford these drugs, but their public healthcare systems are under a lot of pressure, and they are trying to reduce the overall prices of the drugs. So I think Europe is an excellent example for such region where they can afford the drugs, but there is a lot of pressure to trying to reduce the overall cost. Germany, for example, is well known for its aggressive price negotiation. In the UK, we're a bit better in this. So at the same time, the companies are burning a lot of cash as part of their drug discovery and development programs. And I hope we'll all agree that in business, we need to remain profitable if we want to survive. The next big factor that impacts the costs and the drug development is the threat of biosimilars. So new branded drugs are protected from copycat drugs known as biosimilars by something called market exclusivity, which usually offers protection for up to 10 years depending on the region. This means that for that period of time, it's not allowed to have on the market biosimilars that are cheaper copies of the branded drugs. And according to the current statistics, by 2030, there'll be a lot of drugs that will lose such patent protection. And that will mean more than $200 billion lost of revenue to the pharma companies. So the countries where we have a lot of biosimilars are some of the developing countries, and so maybe we have to mention some of the big manufacturers like China, India, Turkey is also a big manufacturer of biosimilars. So once the patent is off, the market is open to a lot more competition from drugs which are developed in different regions and which are biosimilars and offer a lower prices. So that's something that affect the pharma companies and their revenue. But then let's talk about the cost and return of developing new drug products, because I think this is a very important topic. The pharma companies have to balance many things at the same time. The general public expectations, the patient's expectations, the investor's expectations, and their own revenue, obviously. So the cost of bringing a new drug to the market remains high in 2025. It's in the range of $2.2 billion. When we say the drug development cost, we mean from the beginning until the drug reaches the market. So all that development takes years, and the current cost is, as I said, $2.2 billion. The average return of investment is around 5%. So just to explain what that means is, if you invest $1,000 and you have net profit of $50 in return of investment, your return of investment will be 5%. So as you can imagine, the return is relatively low in drug development. And this is why you can understand why many investors would like to have a bit more security on their investment and potentially bigger returns. Because the low return means that the profit is low, and if the drug loses patent and or there's the economic crisis pushing the prices lower, then the companies will have to lay off staff and abandon development of less profitable potential drug candidates. So it's all connected. You know, if you have low profits, then you're more exposed to risks of the market and from patent loss on existing drugs and so on. And that last part is very tricky because I've seen it. I've worked on such clinical trials where you have a drug which is working for the patients. You see it's beneficial, but when the company does its internal assessment, they discover that it's actually not profitable to bring that product to the market. And there are drugs that work, but they never reach the market simply because it's no longer profitable to develop them. So that's one important complication. Let's talk now, why are the costs of clinical research and development increasing? And I think it's very important that we understand this. So the first factor here is the increasing clinical trials time. So that's due to various reasons. Regulations, hospital resources. We are working more on very rare indications where sometimes it's very difficult to find where you need to set up your clinical trial, where you can have the patients and so on. In addition, in some countries like China and Australia, the setup process of clinical trials is simplified and quicker, and this is why they are preferred locations for early stage drug development. In addition, Australia offers tax stimulus for those who pick up Australia for their early stage clinical trials. In Europe, however, the situation is very different, and I'll give you an example of a regulatory complexity of setting up a clinical trial in the UK with gene modified organisms, also known as GMOs. So if I have a GMO product developed via GMO organisms, I'll need four committees to approve the clinical trial. So if my clinical trial uses radiation, then I'll need five committees to approve the clinical trial. If I have in my study, if I need to have access to data from patients' prior consent, then I'll need six committees to approve my study. So you can imagine if you multiply this by countries and regions, you can imagine how complicated this could be and how complicated it will be for companies to manage this. If you have different companies, different regions, and you have all these committees and things going on at the same time, you have to have really a lot of funding and resources to be able to do all this. And this is something that it has a really high impact on the costs of drug development. And another important thing I want to mention, another factor, is the complex research areas. So sometimes it takes a very long time to recruit, especially if you have an indication which is very rare. You know, these are patients that are not that often found in different hospitals, so you might need to go to some specialized centers. Then you need to wait for a long time until these patients actually you have the suitable patients for your clinical trial. The extending the recruitment period and taking a long time to recruit, this has impact on the cost because it costs you more. We should not forget the elephant in the room, which is the poor design clinical trials protocols. So not all companies have opportunity to have access to very experienced professionals who can help them with designing very good clinical trial protocols. In fact, for small companies, it's a big challenge. They don't necessarily have the resources and the expertise. They also struggle a lot when they have to manage different countries and do submissions into different countries. Because if you have a team of, let's say, 20 people working in regulatory affairs, yes, they can manage things better. But if the whole company is five people, you know, for them, managing all these different regions, writing protocols, developing drugs, and and looking after manufacturing, it could be really hectic and a big burden for such companies. So the research is getting more and more complex, and when it gets more complex, then it takes more time. So another important factor here we have to mention is the microeconomic factors like inflation. I see that a lot. Companies come to you and say, well, we want to have a budget for this clinical trial, and then they disappear because they don't have the funding, and then they come back in 1 year time and they say, well, we want to do it now. But then you need to reevaluate the budget because you have inflation, which increase the costs, and obviously that will have impact. So the inflation has a real life impact on services and costs, budgets, and everything else in clinical research. Another interesting factor here to mention when we're talking about the costs of clinical research and drug development are the new technologies. While we all like the new technologies, they make our lives easier sometimes. Sometimes they don't, but that's another topic for another podcast. They inevitably add costs to the overall drug development because it's a highly regulated field. So you can't just use any random software. It needs to be validated, tested. You need to think about cybersecurity and so on. So it's very complicated. For smaller companies, that's a really big budget to have to have additional vendors with additional software and so on. So we often go for simpler solutions. Like we try to even keep things on Excel, as funny as it sounds. Sometimes try to keep it simple is the most cost effective way. It has its all other implications, but you need to think about the budget that the company has. So what are the latest trends in drug development then? So I think the focus is shifting towards final results. So there are fewer clinical trials, or they're stopped earlier and the investment is redirected to more successful candidates. So how the product will reach the market is discussed at the very, very early stage of its development, while in the past people were wanting to have some data before they can plan marketing strategies. Now it all starts from the very beginning and they try to have the appropriate marketing strategy for the product. The result of this is a lot of layoffs in the industry because of the dynamic nature of how new products are developed, and funding is based on where the progress is. I know we all like our area of expertise and we prefer to work in it, and it's the same in pharma companies. There are people who like oncology, for example. They like the product that they're working on. But we need to be a lot more flexible, and we need to understand that the situation is a lot more complicated. So investment in developing of different products depends on their potential in terms of markets and return of investment. So it's not only down to what works best to the patients, but there are a lot of other factors that affect the drug development. In conclusion, I can say that everyone working in the industry, including all healthcare centers involved in clinical research, need to understand that our performance and how quickly we can turn things around is critical for developing new drugs in 2026. Slow progress, inconclusive results, and poor study designs could terminate even very promising drug products. High performance will attract more clinical research and build the reputation of the clinical research centers. And that's something that we need to try to think about, particularly for, I think hospitals need to think about that. It's not about getting the most money you can possibly get in the particular clinical trial, but really to build on your reputation and make sure that future research will come to you because you've done a good job in the previous studies. So I think that that's what we need to focus on. The healthcare centers and those working for the industry, like vendors, need to be competitive and abandon the philosophy. They're pharma companies, so they have the money, or they'll come to us because they have no choice. Because this is not how clinical research is done anymore. There is choice. Companies are thinking about how to do things cheaper. The cost effectiveness is really an important strategy. So we need to take that into consideration when we are approaching clinical trials and research in general. Another thing I think is very important to say in conclusion is the regulators should stop trying to make things simpler, because this is what complicates the process even more. Sometimes they come up with regulations to just to simplify the process, and that's not helping. Ideally, they should be consulting different businesses and different sizes of businesses and not only the big corporations. I see a tendency towards engaging more with the bigger corporations. I understand the smaller companies sometimes are tricky because they don't have the resources. They might not be able to be involved in discussing different policies. But it is very important to have these companies on board and discuss things with them and make sure that whatever change in the process you're considering, that change will be helpful for everyone, not only for the big corporations. And probably the last thing I'm going to say, but it's definitely a very critical one, is cutting red tape and creating appropriate tax initiatives to attract pharma companies' investments should be a priority for all governments. We live in a lot more competitive world, and we need to try and improve the way we do research. If we want to have lower drug development costs, we need to learn to do things quicker, to be more efficient and more organized, and be a bit more considerate in terms of our budgets so we can accommodate smaller companies as well, not only expect that everyone can pay the premium prices that the big corporations can pay. So that's all from me. I hope this was a interesting and useful analysis to you. Thank you for listening.